The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. You may be seated.
We find ourselves in the season of Epiphany, focusing on the topics of revelation and manifestation. What do we see when we turn toward the living God? And how is our encounter with God manifested in our lives? And we're going to consider these concepts through two call stories, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. So we heard God commissioning the prophet Samuel when he was still a boy. He heard someone calling his name and mistakenly believed that it was Eli. Well, Eli helped Samuel discern that God was actually the one trying to get his attention. And even though Samuel was a young boy, the Lord gave him a very significant assignment. God actually used Samuel to help transform the religious hierarchy by replacing leaders who no longer embodied God's values of justice and righteousness, of mercy and compassion. Many years later, we see the call story of Philip. Jesus found Philip and said, "Come and follow me." And even though the text seems to suggest that they just had a brief interaction, there was something about Philip's time with Jesus that convinced him he had met the Messiah, the one who had been anticipated in the law and the prophets. And so he was so excited about this good news that he went and found Nathanael and said, "Nathanael, you need to come and see as well this amazing man." Philip's encounter with Jesus led him to the inner circle, to being one of the 12 disciples who conducted ministry with Jesus during his earthly ministry. Both Samuel and Philip discovered their life's purpose after an encounter with God. And in both instances, the news was so important that they ended up sharing it first with those in their inner circle and then moving out to total strangers. The good news of the Lord was just too compelling for them to hold it in, to keep it to themselves. Their lives were transformed forever after hearing God's voice. And I dare say, sisters and brothers, that the same is true for you and for me. The impact of our encounter with God gets manifested in many ways, but something about the way in which we move in the world is changed forever after we know Jesus. We really aren't the same, right? After we become intentional and devoted and committed to our relationship with God. Now, we read these lessons in Holy Scripture and they make it sound so easy, right? But of course, we know in reality, it's always a little bit harder than what it may appear when we read it. Because it really can take a lifetime to learn to discern God's voice and then to figure out, so what does this mean for me? What kind of response is God calling from me? So for starters, who really is calling to us? I don't know about you, but sometimes there's so many voices almost competing, coming from so many different directions, it's hard to know which one truly is the Lord. God can send people into our lives to deliver a message. God can speak to us through nature or music, through art or dance. Sometimes we just sort of have an instinctual feeling in our gut, okay, this is God. And God also utilizes the circumstances of our lives to send important messages to us. Sometimes those circumstances are joyful and happy occasions, and sometimes it's the challenging moments in life, the really tough struggles that sort of call us up short to say, wow, the Lord is sending a message directly to me. And of course, as Episcopalians, we believe that community is an integral part of discerning God's voice. In other words, we don't discern this by ourselves. We need one another to help us sort it out. But the bottom line is, wherever God is concerned, it's always about community. And you know, the forces of darkness sometimes try to get us to kind of close ranks and make our circle small. But in my experience with Jesus, God's vision is always more expansive than mine. And God calls me to do things that feel like they're far beyond my abilities. In fact, they are far beyond my capacity. And yet God calls me to it anyway. The reality is, God loves everyone and everything God has created, even though God isn't always pleased with our choices, but God wants the best for everyone and everything God has created. So it's about community. The prophets and the disciples, they weren't commissioned just for their own personal power or prestige or influence. No, they were blessed to go out and be a blessing to others. Their work entailed sort of building up the community, almost allowing a foretaste of heaven, to see heaven this side of the grave. So, I think we're wise to approach any of this with a deep sense of humility and to be honest about what it is that may be motivating us. I have found in my experience that trying to live the way Jesus wants me to live requires a level of self-analysis, of self-awareness, what we might call emotional intelligence, to a degree that can be really uncomfortable. Looking at myself in the mirror and being honest about the places where I'm broken, as well as my strengths, it's hard, brothers and sisters. Answering God's call, it demands something of us. It does push us past our comfort zone. Consider Samuel's prophecy that all of Eli's house was going to be punished because his sons deviated from God's teachings. I don't imagine that Samuel was very popular. Maybe he didn't get too many dinner invitations, right? When we deliver difficult news, it's hard. There's a lot of pushback that can come from that. That is certainly the case for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the man our country will celebrate tomorrow. Like Samuel, Dr. King was someone who heard God's call at a very early age, and he committed his life to expanding civil rights for all people, utilizing nonviolent techniques. As he looked out and observed American society, he realized that not every person even had the ability to reach their full potential, and he worked to advance opportunities for others. And of course, his message was not always well received. It was really hard for many Americans to be honest and accept the fact that our institutions and structures did not measure up to the concepts of justice and equality expressed by the founding fathers of this country. Separate but unequal was the order of the day during Dr. King's lifetime. And during the 1963 March on Washington, his remarks included the following, and I quote, "We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. This is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action." As I reflect on his words, brothers and sisters, they're just as relevant today as they were more than 60 years ago when he first spoke them. The fierce urgency of 2024 demands a response from all people of goodwill, irrespective of background or faith or anything else. It's going to take all of us working together to sort of turn this ship around. And sometimes I wonder if Dr. King were alive today, what might he think about the state of affairs in this nation and in the world? Where one thing is certain, Dr. King did not just complain about the problems that he saw, the brokenness of the world. No, he devoted his life to improving conditions for the least, the lost, and the lonely. And guess what? He paid the ultimate price for his labors. Brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is that things are not going to improve in Collierville, in Shelby County, in Tennessee, in the United States, in this world, unless you and I get engaged and become part of the solution. So ultimately, being called by God is not just for those of us who are ordained. It's not about this $20 plastic collar. No. All of us, by virtue of our baptism, are called to do our part to shine the light of Christ in the midst of the darkness. And in a few minutes, we have a young person who's going to be baptized and three people who are going to be confirmed. They're all making a public commitment to living a Christ-centered life. And all of us gathered, we will pledge to support them. That's why it's so important to be a part of a community of faith. Not only do they strengthen us and support us, they also challenge us when we fall short. And so when we gather on Sundays, before we come to this altar, we confess our sins against God and our neighbor, and we commit to doing better. And confession and repentance are a lot more than just admitting that we failed in some ways. They're also how we honor God's truth and continually realign, refocus our priorities on God's values. Because you know, if you watch the nightly news and just hear a litany of all the problems in the world, it is easy to become apathetic or complacent or even to just get discouraged. And yet, God is calling us to roll up our sleeves, I think, figuratively and literally, and try to lean in to make a difference. Nobody can solve all the problems, but everybody can do something. So you may be saying, well, is there any good news? Yes, there's always good news where the Lord is concerned. And the good news is that the one who calls us to a life of service also equips us, empowers us, enables us to live into that call to the best of our abilities. So we can embrace God's call without fear or hesitation, knowing just how much we are loved. So may we have the courage and the discernment to hear God's voice and then to heed God's voice by leaning in and being a blessing to others. So for the privilege of being God's hands and feet and arms and legs in this world, we do give thanks in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.